Hi, my name is Paul Grogan, and welcome to episode 54 of the All New Gaming Rules podcast. This episode is an audio version of the monthly video log that went live in September 2023. As always, a big thank you to all my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. And if you want to support me directly, you can do so at patreon.com/gamingrules. And now, on with the show. In this video log, it's going to follow the same format as everything else. I'm going to talk about all of the games that I've been playing since the last video log, which was filmed at the very end of August, just before we went away on honeymoon. So yeah, it's going to cover everything that I've played from the 1st of September right through to the 30th of September, which is the day when I'm filming this. There may be a game tonight, there may be a game tomorrow, but I can mention those next time. Then I'm going to give you a bit of an update on the channel, what's going on, and what's planned for the next few weeks. So let's dive into all of the games that I've been playing since the last video log. Now, we went away on honeymoon for the first couple of weeks, and we did take a few games with us, and we got a chance to play a few games while we were there. Vicky isn't that big of a games player, but there are a few games that we do enjoy playing together, and I'm going to talk about them now. The game that we played, I think, the most while we were away was Micro Macro Crime City Full House. I think it was the Full House version that we took with us. So we took it with us. We took the map and we took the cards and everything else. And we played about five, maybe six games of that while we were away. It is just a play once game. Each box comes with about 15 different cases, and you can play a case in anything from like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, right up to maybe 15, 20 minutes for the really complicated ones. But it is something that we enjoy playing, and we enjoy doing it together. So we did that while we were away. The other game that we played while we were away was Ganshon Clever. We played a game of this at the airport, and we played it, I think, probably three or four times while we were away in total. I laminated one of the sheets, and then we took an erasable pen with us so that we weren't using paper sheets. Now, I don't physically own a copy of this game. I really should, but I don't own a physical copy of the game. And local friends, Mark and Sally, said we could borrow theirs to take with them. But we kind of thought, well, hang on a minute. If we've got a laminated sheet and I just get six dice of the appropriate colours, then we don't need to borrow it. Because if we borrow it, we might lose it, etc., etc. So I thought, that's fine. And the funny story about this game is, I think we were on maybe our third game of it. So we played the first game, and I think we got a rule slightly wrong. I can't remember which one. And then we played another game of it. And then our third game of it, Vicky made a comment and said, that yellow dice doesn't seem to roll anything above a three. At which point, I picked the dice up and realised it was a D3. So a D3 basically is a six-sided dice that has two ones, two twos and two threes. So our first three games of it don't count because we were actually playing with a yellow dice. And it just kind of shows, it was interesting how Vicky observed that and I didn't. And I've been having a think about why I never noticed that, and, you know, the psychological profile of me and what makes me up. I played it three times and I never actually noticed that the yellow dice didn't roll above a three. I think I'm just not very observant with regards to certain things. Now, the other thing about this game that I did want to mention, and I'm keen to know what you think about this, so please leave me a comment in the video and let me know what you think, because me and Vicky had a discussion about it, which turned into a little bit of a disagreement, in that I said one of the great things with Ganshon Clever is that you can have multiple different strategies in the game. You can say, in this game, I'm going to really try and complete the yellow area, or I'm going to complete the blue area, or in this game, I'm going to go all the way to the end of the purple track. That's what I'm going to try and do. Now, of course, you do have the dice in the game, and the dice might not, you know, go that way, but I think it is a game where you can have an idea. And Vicky completely disagreed with me, because I was trying to say, look, what should we do in this game? Should we have an idea? And Vicky's like, no, you can't. And her point was, and I did come around to this idea eventually, you cannot have any idea whatsoever of what you want to do in the game until you've made the first dice roll. So I think we were both sort of saying the same thing, in that I was trying to say you can have an idea of what you want to do in the game. You don't just have to every single turn roll the dice and make a tactical decision. You can have an overall strategy. And Vicky was not disagreeing with that. She was saying, well, you can have an overall strategy, but you can't until the first dice are rolled. And I sort of came round to that idea, because if you go down my thinking and I say, right, we're going to play a game now, we're going to really go the purple track. And then the first dice roll is like, oh, okay, well, maybe we won't. Maybe we'll go down the other track instead. So, yeah, like to know what you think about it. While we were away, I was also playing a few games of it on the website. There is a website, a free website, where you can actually play this game. If I remember, I'll put a link to it in the description of this video, because there is an app for the game that you can buy as well. But there is a website, it's an official website, where you can play it for free. So yeah, really enjoy Ganchon Clever. And for those interested, I have played the second version of the game, whatever that was called. I haven't played 3 and 4. So that's my next question for you, if you would like to leave me a comment. If you've played multiple versions, you know, 1, 2, 3, or 4, which is your favourite one and why? The next game that we played when we were on holiday was a wedding present from Matthew Dunstan. So Matthew Dunstan and Rory Muldoon run Postmark Games, and they've done a few games on Kickstarter, and these are very cheap games, and they are print and play games. So they've done 3 of them. They've done Aquamarine, Voyages, and they've done Waypoints. Now, each of these was on Kickstarter, and you just paid a few dollars, and then you got sent the print and play files. So what I did is Matthew sent me all of these. So thank you very much, Matthew, for this. We printed them out. We took them with us. We only got chance to play Aquamarine, the first one. I wanted to play more. I did want to try more of them. But again, I didn't want to just sit there and play games on my own. I did want to play games with Vicky. And she preferred playing Ganchon Clever to Aquamarine. So that's the one that we played more of. Now, I did enjoy Aquamarine. We only played the first game of it. We only played the first map. I think there's 4 different maps. But as a solo game, I didn't feel it worked that well. The reason is, in the solo game, you have 24 turns. I think it's 24 turns. Each turn, you roll 2 dice. And then you use those dice to determine where your diver, you're basically diving down and trying to spot fish and find treasure and get octopuses and things like that. But if you roll low, then that's not a good thing. And if you roll high, that's a better thing because you get to move further. And if you roll a double, it's really good. Now, the way that this game works multiplayer, it is a roll and write game, so everybody will have their own sheet, but one player rolls the dice, and then everybody uses the result of that dice, which means that means it's fair. So if, for example, you roll double 5, well, that's great. Okay, we get to move 5 spaces and we don't use any air. Fantastic. But everybody has the same thing. Whereas in the solo game, there are still some choices in the game, but whether you do well or not is massively affected by the dice rolls. So it's not like you can compare one game to the next and go, oh, well, in this game, I scored a lot more. Yeah, because in that game, you rolled like 11 doubles or something like that. So I want to play this game again, but I do want to play multiplayer. Let me know if you feel the same way about it. Enjoyed it, but think it works better as a multiplayer game. And that is all about we had time for while we were away. I'll talk a little bit more about the honeymoon later on, but let's get back to the games that I've played this month. So, Nucleum. When I got back from honeymoon, I had a games day. So we got back on the Saturday, and on the Sunday, people came round, and my plan was to play 2 games of Nucleum, which I did. And the reason why I played 2 games of Nucleum is because the week after, I was doing a sponsored playthrough for it. Now, that video is on the channel now, if you're interested. It is a 3-player game of Nucleum, which is one of the hot new games that's coming out at Essen Spiel. Designed by Simone Luciani and David Turzi. It's published by Board & Dice. It is number 1 on the Essen Most Wanted Games Tracker on BGG, and quite rightly so. This game was right on my radar the first time I heard about it, and thankfully, because Board & Dice are a client, I got sent an early copy of it, and I have played it. So I've played this game 4 times in the last month, and what can I say about it? It's a combination of Barrage and Brass. Now, everybody's saying that, and they're absolutely right. There are very much elements of both of those games in there. Personally, and this is a complete personal opinion, I prefer it to both. I respect Brass as a very good game. It's not my favourite game. I enjoy playing it, but not as much as many, many other games. I'm not even sure Brass would make my top 20, even though I respect it as a good game. Nucleum has similar elements to brass. It definitely isn't just brass, but it's more open. So specifically, I'm thinking about you are building railways and you are building routes into various cities and you're trying to build up your network. But the way that it works is that whenever you build a railway, you don't have to branch out from where you already are. You can actually build anywhere on the board, absolutely anywhere on the board. So you've got complete flexibility of where you build. And what that does is that means that you can, oh, you've got one network over here. Right, suddenly you've now got another network over there. Now, those networks are not connected together, but you can basically build railways wherever you want. So the game is a lot more open. It's also more complicated than both of the other games by quite a bit, I think. Very much enjoyed the game. It is a heavy Euro game. There are some people who will call this medium to heavy. Personally, for me, this is a heavy Euro game. You are basically investors in an alternative 19th century Saxony where nuclear power has been discovered. You are constructing buildings across the map and you are trying to generate electricity in order to power those buildings, turn the lights on, and they will generate points for you at the end of the game. You can import coal from two off-site places and you can use power stations in order to convert uranium into also electricity and everything else. So yeah, there's a lot going on. You're looking at probably 3 hours for your first game. It's probably a 45 minute teach if you were to teach somebody the full. But if you like your heavy Euros, if you like brass, you like barrage, you like the games from David and Simone, this is a game that you definitely need to have a look at. The other game that I've played in the last month, well, I've played a couple this week. So I've played Zhangguo, the First Empire. Now, Zhangguo, the First Empire is a new implementation of a 2014 game, Zhangguo, which was published by What's Your Game. And I actually worked professionally on the original version of the game. I helped do some playtesting for it. I did a little bit of game development on it. There is a rule in the original version of the game, which I created. I put that rule in there. They got rid of that rule for the new version, but you know, I helped with the rule book for the game and I did a video for the game. So that was the original version of the game, but the designers have got the rights back to it and they've given it another lease of life with the publisher Sorry We Are French. So Sorry We Are French is publishing it. Hachette Games in the UK are distributing it in the UK. They sponsored that playthrough video. I was always going to do this. I mean, again, like I've spoken about on all of my other vlogs, is I feel very, very lucky in that sometimes I actually get paid to create videos for games which I'm personally really interested in. And Zhangguo, in my opinion, was one of the best of the Watch Your Game games. Not my favourite one, but probably my second or third favourite, I think. I'm trying to think. Madeira, Nippon. No, Zhangguo might even be my third favourite game from Watch Your Game. So yeah, it's a game which I really, really enjoyed. And I was happy to see that, you know, there's a new version, new artwork. It's had a few rules changes. The rules changes actually make it more complicated. So this is a heavy game as well. It's less heavy than Nucleum, but I think it's still a heavy game because there's a lot of things going on in the game. And whilst each individual part of the game is relatively straightforward, it's putting it all together because the new version of the game has these mausoleum tiles and you want to be trying to accomplish, they're like tasks, and you're trying to accomplish these tasks in order to place terracotta soldiers into the mausoleum and you're trying to make rows and columns. So you need to have an idea at the start of the game and go, right, okay, let's have a look at the mausoleum. Right, that tile there, I need to have two palaces in that particular region. And to get that one, I need one governor and one palace in that region. And then I need, and you've got to have all of that in mind at the start and you need to work backwards from there. You're like, right, okay, so I know I'm going to need to build two palaces in region number three. Right, that means I'm going to have to be recruiting workers into that region, which means I'm going to need a general in that region. I'm going to be gaining unrest in that region, which means I need a way to deal with it. It's a lot for your first game. It's a game where your first game will just be pushing buttons, pulling levers, see what happens, and then you play your second game and it will become a lot easier, I think, from your set. Well, maybe not easier, but you'll certainly have more of an idea what you're doing. Now, Zhangguo, the First Empire, I believe is going to be released at Essenspiel. So if you're interested in that game, the playthrough is on the channel and you can pick that up. The other game that I played last week was also another sponsored video, but again, I feel very, very lucky because this is a game which I was absolutely going to be getting myself anyway, and this is Djinn, D-J-I-N-N, and this is from Hall Games. Now, I happen to be friends with the owner of Hall Games, a guy called Ralph, really, really nice guy. And Ralph, as well as running the publisher company, he does a lot of development on games. So he's worked a lot with Stefan Feld. He's done a lot of development on his games. He helps create solo modes, really good solo modes for games. And Djinn is from the same designer as Crown of Amara. And Crown of Amara is one of my favourite games from a few years ago. Everybody who's played Crown of Amara says it's really good. So Benjamin Schwer is the designer of Crown of Amara and also the designer of Djinn. We covered this last night on the channel. So I played it yesterday afternoon and I also played it last night. The video is there if you're interested in this. It isn't that high on the Essen hotness list, but it is a game that if you like your medium weight Euros, you should definitely check out. The theme of the game is that you're magicians. This town that you're living in or this city has been invaded by these djinn and you are going around getting the help of other mages, using your magical power to trap these djinn in bottles. The cool part of the game is that you actually have to go to a market, buy the bottles, then go somewhere and buy the corks, and when you capture the djinn, you put them in the bottle and you put the stopper on the bottle. And it's just this nice little physical representation of the bottle with the djinn on top of it, and then you put the cork in the top. So yeah, that's quite cool. But yeah, it's a medium weight Euro that takes probably 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours to play. It says 60 to 90 minutes on BGG. Probably would take that once you know what you're doing. And there is a solo mode. Now, I've not tried the solo mode myself yet, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say, the solo mode is going to be very good because I know that Ralph's either designed it or certainly developed it, and everything that he works on is really good. So yeah, so that's Djinn. After the game of Djinn last night, we went downstairs and there were five of us, so we played Secret Identity. Now, I'm sure I've spoken about Secret Identity on the last video log. This was a game that was actually sent to me from Hachette Games UK last year, just before GridCon. I didn't know they were sending it. They were going to send me something, and they included this in the box as well. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what this is. And Flavian from Hachette Games said, it's a party game for gamers. And I was like, okay, right. And I'm sure I spoke about this on the last video log. It's actually really good. And everybody I've played this with has really enjoyed it. This is a fun party style game where there are 8 cards with famous celebrities, dead or alive, printed on them. You get a key telling you which one of those you have to describe. And then you have to put cards into your little player board to try and describe that person with icons. And then the other players have to guess what you've put in. And it's the standard scoring of you get 1 point for everybody who guesses yours right, and everybody else gets 1 point if they guess yours right. The clever part of this game, and what makes it really interesting, is you have green parts of your player board and you have red parts of your player board. And if you put a card, if you put an icon into the green part of your player board, it says, this icon represents the thing that the person I'm describing. If you put it in the red part, you put it in the thing that it's not describing. And it allows you to be creative in so many different ways. So one of the examples of the game last night was I think it was Tony the Tiger. That was it. Tony the Tiger from the Frosties adverts. Other breakfast cereals are available. And what he did is he simply put, I think it was an octopus. So an icon of an octopus in the red part of his card and said, there you go. And we were looking at it and we were like, because you guess in secret, it's a competitive game. And you're looking at it and you're thinking, well, it's not an octopus. Is that it? Is that all you're telling us? But when you think about it, you look at the 8 things that are there, and all of the rest of them were like, you know, Nelson Mandela and Spock and things like that. The only one that was an animal was Tony the Tiger. So by Rob saying it's not an octopus, what he was inferring is it's an animal that's not an octopus. And it was like, well, it's Tony the Tiger and things like that. So yeah, you can be really creative with some of the things that you put on there. Anyway, this is a game, and Pete summed this up last night. He summed it up well, because we've been playing Just One and So Clover many, many, many times for the last couple of years. And they always come out and they're always a lot of fun. And Pete said last night after we played this game, he said, this is up there. This is up there with them. And I was like, yeah, absolutely, you're right. So that time and that place where you've got 30, 40 minutes free at the end of a night and you've got a group of people and you want to play a fun game, and if you like the kind of fun party games that I like Just One, So Clover, Codenames and things like that, have a look at Secret Identity, because that for us fits into that same category. We always have fun playing it. You can be introduced to anybody. The rules are really easy. And yeah, really enjoyed that. I also played a game of War Chest using Board Game Arena, and that game started during the week and it finished yesterday. This is a War Chest tournament that is being organised on my Patreon supporter Slack channel. Again, thank you, Brett, for organising this tournament. But loads of people have joined in this tournament, and I managed to make it through to round two. I didn't do that well in the sort of qualifying heats, but I did enough to get through to round two, which is the knockout stages. And my first game of it was against one of my Patreon supporters called Augustine. He's very, very good at games, like really scarily good at games. And I've played a few games with him before, and he generally wins by quite a margin. Anyway, this game of War Chest has to go down in memory as one of the most unusual games of War Chest that I've ever had. We were a number of turns into the game, and I'd killed, I think, 8 of his pieces, and he'd killed 1 of mine. Everything just went right. I managed to get the right tiles at the right time. I played well. I was making some great moves. And it was just like, he put a piece on the board, I'd kill it. He put another piece on the board, he'd move somewhere, I'd kill it. I'd do that, I'd kill it. I mean, literally, I was sitting there thinking, well, I feel sorry for him. I really wish this game had a resign option, because he's literally lost 8 or 9 tokens and I've lost 1. And I lost the game. And I was looking at it afterwards and I was like, how did I lose this game? Am I dreaming? Pinch myself. What's going on? How can I have lost this game? Now, as I mentioned earlier on, Augustine is an extremely good player. And this is actually, I love War Chest. I think it's a fantastic game. But this has actually raised my opinion of the game even more, because War Chest isn't about killing your opponent. It's about taking control of 6 areas. And as soon as you get control of 6 areas, you win. And that's what he did. And I was obviously focusing too much of my time on kill a unit, kill another unit, kill another unit. What I ended up with is I was in a situation where Augustine's bag only had about 3 tokens in it. And I remember ending the penultimate turn thinking, well, hang on a minute. He's got control of 5 areas. He's got a swordsman on another area. He's about to reshuffle his bag, but he's only got 3 tokens in his bag, and I know one of them's a swordsman. He's won. He's won next turn. There's nothing I can do about this. And obviously, next time I play, I need to focus on keeping an eye. I mean, I was trying. I wasn't like oblivious to what was going on, but I don't know. It was a really interesting game, and I am happy. I wasn't happy initially. I was a little bit frustrated, but I was happy to have lost in that way, because it just shows how that game can be played that's very different. Now, it pains me to say this, because I've been playing Aeon Trespass Odyssey every week now for the last couple of months. And unfortunately, in this last month, we only got to play it once. That's because I was away on honeymoon and then various other things happened. So yeah, I've only had 1 session of Aeon Trespass Odyssey. Got to sort that out next month. But the Aeon Trespass Odyssey campaign is continuing. The roller coaster of the highs and the lows has been there. There are certain parts of it that we're still finding thoroughly exciting. We're still exploring so much about the game, the narrative, the story, and everything else. We are looking at implementing... We've already implemented 1 house rule, and we've just implemented another house rule. Now, the first house rule that we implemented, I may have talked about this last month, I can't remember. But normally in the game, when you roll dice to see when you're attacking or evading, you can use fate to re-roll those dice. What we've got is we've got an optional rule which says, instead of spending fate to re-roll a dice, you could just add 1 to it. And that has made the game, I don't know, it's a nice choice. It isn't just like, oh, you can have a free +1. It's like, well, you're going to have to spend a fate to do so, but instead of re-rolling, you can have a free +1. So we've used that rule. We're going to keep that rule. It worked really well for us. The other rule which I'm toying with implementing, and this is actually a rule which I'm considering implementing for all games, is whenever you pay a resource to re-roll a dice, if it re-rolls the exact same thing as you've just got, then you get to re-roll again. You know, you rolled it and it was a 4, I'm going to spend 3 wood, I'm going to re-roll it and it's a 4 again. It's just really, really frustrating. So this little house rule that I've got is basically, if you re-roll a dice and you get the exact same result, forget that and roll again. So yeah, Aeon Trespass Odyssey, loving the game. There are some battles that just feel really hard. And ultimately, we want to play this game and we want to enjoy it. And if that means implementing a couple of house rules to make the game slightly easier so that we enjoy it more and it isn't completely as punishing, then that's what we're going to do. Anyway, not many games played this month because, as I say, I was away for a couple of weeks. But other things that have been on the channel in the last month. Some of you will have noticed that while I was away for 2 weeks, I released a series of 8 videos on a computer game called Book of Hours. Now, this isn't a board game related thing whatsoever. It's a pure computer game, not based on any kind of board game at all. But it's a new game that I got a copy of. And I was really enjoying playing it. And I thought, I tell you what, I'm going to create a series of videos and I'll release them every couple of days while I'm away on honeymoon, just so that there's some content on the channel and people might be interested in watching. A few people did watch them. The views on the videos aren't particularly great, but a number of people said, yeah, we've enjoyed these videos and we'd like to see more. I don't know whether there will be any more because I've got back and it's just gone crazy busy and I've not had any time. I have been playing a little bit of it, sort of half an hour on, half an hour off here and there, but I've not been recording that or streaming it or anything else. Another thing that's been on the channel in the last month has been my top 10 games of 2022. Now, as you may know, I normally like to film these videos way after everybody else. I normally release them in the December. So in December, when everybody else is releasing their top 10 games of 2023, I go and release my top 10 games of 2022. This year, I wanted to do it earlier. My plan was to do it in the summer, but plans change. So I ended up doing it. Just before I went away. So that is on the channel now. If you want to see my top 10 games of 2022, yeah, go and check that out. The other thing is, earlier on today, literally an hour ago, I did an unboxing video for Halls of Hegra. So that's on the channel now if you want to see that. And other than that, that is all of the content that's been on the channel, and that's everything I've played. So moving forward to what's coming up in future. Well, on Monday, I'm going to be leaving to head to Essen. I'm leaving on Monday evening. I'm getting the train to Luke Hector's house. I'm staying with Luke on Monday night. And then we're going to be driving over to, I say we're going to be driving, Luke's going to be driving us over to Essen on Tuesday. And then we're going to be arriving Tuesday night. And then I'm there at Essen Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 5 full days. The fair is Thursday to Sunday, but because I'm an exhibitor, I get in on the Wednesday. I'm really looking forward to Essen. I've been going for 24 years. I absolutely love it. It's like a holiday. It's a working holiday, but yeah, it's going to be great. I will be doing a live stream each night starting on Monday. So Monday night will be a live stream of me from Luke's house talking about all of my most anticipated games that I'm looking forward to at Essen. And then each night I will be doing a little bit of a video log. The one on Tuesday won't be very much. It will be, yeah, we drove here and we chatted and that's it. But from Wednesday onwards, I'm going to be having some guests on the show. We're going to be talking about the games that we've picked up, games that we've played. I won't have played very much, which is why I'm inviting some guests on. So that's going to be happening over the next week. And then when I get back, I am going to be covering Pirates of Maracaibo. So Maracaibo, as regular viewers of mine will know, is one of my favourite games. I absolutely adore Maracaibo. I think it's a fantastic game. Love Alexander Pfister's games. And Pirates of Maracaibo is a different game, but set in the Maracaibo universe. I'm picking up a copy of that at Essen, and I will be covering that on the Wednesday that I get back, which is the 11th. The 11th of October is when I'll be covering that. Pete's coming over. We're going to be doing a two-player game of it. Then on the 13th of October, I'm going to be covering a game called Footprints. Footprints is the new game which is coming out at Essen Spiel from Chili Fox Games. So big fan of theirs, big fan of what they do. I've actually played Footprints a couple of times already, and it is good. So keep an eye out for that. The following Wednesday is going to be Old King's Crown, and this is going to be a bit special because I've got Adam Richards from Punchboard UK, and I've got JP coming over from the Whose Turn Is It Anyway podcast, and I think one other person as well, who we haven't yet decided. That's going to be a live stream of Old King's Crown. Old King's Crown, I don't know very much about. However, after the UK Games Expo earlier this year, so many people kept telling me about Old King's Crown and how fantastic it was. So there was a conversation with the publisher. They were happy for sponsoring a video on the channel. And I was like, well, look, everybody's told me this game is great. So we'll find out about it. I'm also going to be hoping to get back to more Aeon Trespass Odyssey. Because obviously with one thing or another, didn't get much of that played in the last month. So hopefully when I get back from Essen, I'll be going back to some more weekly plays of that. And they will be live streamed again Tuesday nights, but they will be Patreon only, as mentioned earlier on. So let's give you a little bit of a Patreon update. Actually, this month we are down 7 members. Each month we gain loads of new supporters and we lose loads of supporters. But this is the first month for a very long time that membership has actually gone down. So basically, 7 fewer people have joined than have left, if that makes sense. Now, this is the first loss in the Patreon support for months. It's been on a gradual, steady rise for quite a while now, but that's okay. I know that a lot of other content creators, Patreon support has actually been dropping for quite a while now because of everything, you know, a lot of people are struggling, cost of living crisis and everything else. So I consider myself extremely lucky that I haven't been experiencing the drop in Patreon members that a lot of other people have. So the fact that it's down 7 members, you know, it's not a problem. But yeah, a big thank you to everybody who has A, stuck with me, and B, has recently joined me. On screen now is an image of everybody who has joined the Patreon since the last video log. And yeah, just a huge thank you to you, because of all of the things going on in my life, the fact that I have the Patreon support from both a financial point of view and from a emotional support point of view, yeah, that's great. And I can't thank you enough for allowing me to continue with what I do. So one of the things about the Patreon campaign that I did want to mention, and that is annual memberships are now available. I've been looking at doing this for some time, actually, but there's been various reasons why I've been putting it off, because it did actually need... It wasn't just as simple as turning it on. Well, it was as simple as turning it on, but there are certain implications and ramifications with regards to the membership, the Slack membership, because that's all tied in from an accounting point of view as well. You know, when somebody pays an annual membership, they basically pay it all up front. But from an accounting point of view, it then needs to be spread out over the 12 months. It's all very complicated. I don't understand it. Vicky's got that job to do. But if you're interested and you want to switch your membership over to an annual membership, there is a certain percentage discount on there, then feel free. I think you can convert your membership over to an annual membership. I don't quite know how, but yeah, let me know if you get into any difficulties with that. And it is there. It's a total option. If you want to stay on a monthly membership so that you've got the flexibility to cancel whenever you want, that's fine. But if you are one of those supporters that's going to stay with me no matter what, then the annual membership means that you've got, you get a little bit of a discount. Right, next thing to talk about is the honeymoon. So from the 1st to the 15th of September, a long time overdue and very, very welcome. And it was good for me in a way. The downside was, and if you remember my last monthly video log, I talked about the fact that I've got this trapped nerve in my arm. Now that started to get better, slowly, a little bit. However, due to me doing some screwdriver work on a suitcase the day before we left, it absolutely flared up again and it went back to the worst pain that I was in. It went back to right as it was at the start. So for the first week of the honeymoon, I was in agony. I couldn't shower. I could hardly get dressed. Wasn't sleeping much at night because just could not get in any position where it was comfortable. And that put a bit of a downer on it. Now, I did still enjoy the holiday and we did still do a few things, but there are a few things that we wasn't going to be able to do. For example, I wanted to do a scuba diving course. We got given a gift from the hotel because it was our honeymoon. And one of the options was a scuba diving course. Now, I've never done scuba diving, and I thought if I'm going to do it, and if I'm ever going to do it, I should do it somewhere where it's really nice, clear waters, and you can, you know, there's lots of fishes and not just brown water. But couldn't do that. No way I was going to be able to do that with my arm and my shoulder. Bit of an update on the trapped arm since we're talking about it. It has got a lot better now. Been to the doctors about it. They said it could take 3 months to get better. They've given me loads and loads of exercises to do. But I have to say, in the last 3 or 4 days, it's still in a little bit of pain, but I am fully functional, to quote data. One other thing that I wanted to mention about the honeymoon is for many years now, when I've been experiencing a great deal of stress and anxiety and things like that, a lot of people have said, well, what do you do to decompress? What can you do to switch off, go somewhere and just relax? And I've always maintained that I don't have anything that relaxes me. Playing a computer game, okay, it's enjoyable, but the kind of computer games that I like are resource management, you know, you've got this going on, that going on. They're not relaxing in a way. Going and having a bath, that doesn't relax me. It just doesn't. Sitting down in a quiet room and reading a book, I don't do that. All of these things that, you know, most people can do to have some time out and relax just don't seem to work for me. But I found something, and that was snorkeling with the fishes, because the snorkeling was probably my favourite part of the holiday, and it was the cheapest part of the holiday because it was absolutely free. Almost every day we would go out snorkeling, just literally on the beach where the hotels were. We were in Mauritius, for those people who don't know, and you wouldn't have to go far. You'd go maybe 30 feet, 40 feet out, and you'd be swimming around, and there'd be dozens and dozens of fishes everywhere. So at both the first hotel and the second hotel, in fact, the second hotel, in one particular area, there wasn't as many, but then if you went to another area, there was hundreds, like more than I've ever, it was just amazing. And we'd go snorkeling every day for about 45 minutes, just swimming around and just looking at fishes. And I came back and I was like, that was it. I felt happy. I felt relaxed. It's going to be quite expensive to go all the way to Mauritius to get that to relax again. But, you know, it was nice. I really enjoyed it. And I tried to do that every day. And that amount of gentle swimming around, I was just about able to do, kind of like doggy paddle with it. Anyway, I've got some pictures on screen now of some of the things from the honeymoon. It was expensive. It was Mauritius. It was an expensive hotel. There's no way we can afford to go, you know, like that on holiday regularly. Because it was our honeymoon, we decided to, you know, splash out a bit. I'm trying to think if there's anything else to mention. I've covered all of the content that's been on the channel. I've given you a Patreon update. I've talked about what's coming new to the channel. And I've given you a personal update as well. So I think that is pretty much everything. So I'm going to wrap up this video log now. I'm going to get it edited over this weekend, and I'm going to get it released before I go to Essen. And as I say, there will be some live streams coming from Essen. So a big thank you to all of my Patreon supporters for making these monthly video logs possible. Apologies again for me not being on camera. It's just, yeah, not going to have time to do that. But if you're listening, if you're the kind of person that listens to this vlog in the background, or if you're the person who listens to this vlog as a podcast, then it's not been any different for you. It's been exactly the same. So I say this isn't going to become a regular thing. We'll see. I do need longer term. I do really envy those content creators that have got a permanent setup and they can literally just sit down, put a memory card in the camera, turn a light on and press record. And I can't do that. I do have a studio, but this studio needs reconfiguring every time I do each kind of video. So whether it's an unboxing video with me on camera, or whether it's a 3 or 4 player playthrough video, or if it's a video log or anything like that, the whole studio needs everything moving around. Different cameras need moving around and microphones and everything else. And I'd love to have a permanent setup where I could just go sit there, put a card in, press record, and, you know, it's done. But I don't have that at the moment. Maybe one day in future. Anyway, like I said, we're going to wrap things up now. I will say thank you very much for watching or listening, and I'll see you all next time. Bye-byes.